Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. And today's discussion of Nationwide program is focusing on the COP27, which is the United Nations Conference of the Parties on Climate Change, which is taking place in Egypt. And this time, that is in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, and with the world leaders will be coming there to discuss issues that are related to climate change. And this summit comes again as, or this conference comes again as the countries are following up on their agreements and also resolutions of the past the conferences in which the world is trying to tackle issues of climate change. Because all of us, or some of us might know that climate change is happening all over the world, and nobody is immune from climate change. And climate change, scientists are saying, is threatening life on planet Earth. And to have a view on what will be discussed in the COP27 in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, I have with me a civil society activist and environmental activist, Nyamaj Hothmai, who is the executive director and founder of Future Savers. Welcome, Nyamaj Hothmai, on Radio Miraya's Nationwide program.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Yeah. Now, many people might not know what is COP27 or what is COP, Conference of the Parties on Climate Change. But this conference also has been set for focusing on how to implement the points that were agreed last year's COP26. So can you give a brief account of the most important aspects of, first, the importance of the conference itself and the points that are being discussed?
All right. Thank you, Gabriel, for having me in the studio and for this wonderful and very pressing issue. Let me start first with, actually, you said the COP27, which is taking place in Sharm el-Sheikh, and we have a good number of South Sudanese delegates from our ministries and civil society, from the Council of Churches and Businesses, have actually joined the rest of the world to tackle the issues that are facing the whole globe. COP, it's actually an abbreviation for Conference of the Parties. Parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, which was established in 1992. And this UNFCCC is actually the main gear that is tackling climate issues. And it came up with a lot, like we have the Kyoto Protocol, and we have the Paris Agreement, which is the one that is actually being implemented in COP26 and COP27. So Paris Agreement was in 2015, where more than 196 countries signed it, and it was the only legally binding climate agreement that is holding the developed nations and other people to limit temperatures below 2 degrees Celsius, which is preferably 1.5 degrees Celsius. So Paris Agreement urged the parties to cut down their emissions, and we had a phrase of phase out coal power generation, which is among the industry that is polluting more and releasing a lot of greenhouse gases to our atmosphere. So the countries or the parties to Paris Agreement were actually urged to, after every 5 years, they come up, submit their national determined contribution, which is a document that lay out their plans and actions in cutting down their emissions, adaptation mechanism, and transition to green energy. So the COP26, which was actually the first conference at the first 5 years that all the parties were going to bring in their NDCs, the national determined contributions, was supposed to take place in 2020, but due to COVID-19 pandemic, it was cancelled until last year. And South Sudan was among the countries that also submitted their NDCs in 2020. The plans of action, the NAPA, that how are we going to adapt to this climate change? How are we going to cut our mitigate or cut down our emissions, even though in the whole Africa our emissions are insignificant, which is just about 4% mm-hmm. emissions of greenhouse gases. So last year's points, it's called the Glasgow Climate Pact. And Glasgow Climate Pact had like the major 5 points. Among them is the mitigation option, which is cutting down the emissions. And mostly it's to the developed nations who are still having this industrialized, you know, power plants like the coal. We have the USA, India, and China. And it's called all the parties to submit their emissions, you know, progress. Mm-hmm. Are they cutting down? And they have to transit from, you know, from the coal power generation to clean energy like solar systems and hydropower and all this. Mm-hmm. So mitigations is mostly to those industrialized nations that they have to cut down their emission and they have to show how far they are with cutting down their emissions. And in Paris Agreement, they actually wanted to phase out completely to stop coal power generation. But in the climate pact last year, you know, India and China and the rest of the world that are really dependent, their economies depend on this coal power generation, they actually changed the freeze from phase out to phase down. Mm. So they want to cut down their emissions. And by 2025, they have to submit, that is another 5 years from the Paris Agreement. And mitigation, there are a lot of finances that goes toward mitigations, transition to clean energy. The other point, it's on fossil fuel, which is the major contributor to the emission of greenhouse gases. Fossil fuel, we have the coal, we have diesel generators that are being used, you know, when they incompletely burn, they release the carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide to our atmosphere. And people are told, or the nations are told, to transit from, you know, using fossil fuel to using clean energy, like the hydropower, the wind power, and use other sources of renewable resources instead of using the fossil fuel, which will actually reduce emissions and will take us now to the main objective of the Paris Agreement, that we want to reduce emission or put our temperatures below 2 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah, yeah. Now, what is the risk if this thing is not, these things are not implemented? What are the risks?
Yes, the risk, of course, the world is warming, and we are talking of climate change and global warming. You know, the greenhouse gases, when emitted to our atmosphere, they actually make a cover, and whatever sun rays that come to the earth that are usually reflected back to the space, they don't get, they get trapped, which make the planet, you know, the surface of the earth to warm up. And warming up, just any change of even a degree Celsius will bring a lot of issues in aquatic life, like in oceans. You increase a bit of temperature, you will find the fishes that used to stay in that particular environment mm-hmm. are actually, they may die, or a lot of things will happen because the temperatures increases, it changes their morphology and their activities within a certain environment.
And it affects people's life.
Yeah, of course. And effects to the environment, it affects livelihood, because if you don't have fish to eat, your livelihood is affected. The rainfall patterns, when they change, we're having too much rains, less rain in some parts of the world, like in Africa, like especially in South Sudan, we're having droughts and floods at the same time. Mm. So that one affect livelihood, because 95% of African agriculture are rain-fed. Mm. They're not irrigated. Yeah. So any change in rainfall, whether it's too much or too less, it actually affects the crop's yield. It bring a lot of diseases that will infest. And then you'll also have a lot of land degradation, that your soils become unfertile, that you will not have, hence affecting food security, bringing a lot of diseases. So if such points are not implemented, it's actually expected that the temperatures could increase even to 2.5%, mm-hmm. 2.7.
Even though those industrialized or advanced countries are not immune from these, because we are seeing how much they are affected now by flooding and also the the Antarctic Ocean is like reducing. The ice is melting.
It's melting. That's true.
And here in the third world, people are speaking about conflicts that are induced by climate change.
So
it's very important, if that is the case, that we have to act before it is too late.
That's true.
Now, which ones of these things are easy to implement, and which ones are not easy?
Well, implementation is actually the biggest issue now. And as we see in COP27, it said clearly that they're not going to set any other goals, but to follow up with implementation of all the goals from Paris Agreement. And we have seen that the loss and damage has not been implemented since 2015 up to now, because the developed nations are urged to actually contribute finances to pay the developing countries to counter, you know, the effect of climatic changes. There are losses and damages that are happening due to climate crisis that needs to be compensated for. So these compensations are not actually implemented, and this is one of the subjects for COP27. And the UNFCCC have put it under Santiago Network to actually facilitate how these countries are going to be are compensated for the loss of damages that happen from climate change. And also the climate finance. You know, since 2009, the developed nations agreed, they are actually to put $100 billion every year for adaptation mechanism or to go to climate finances. But apparently we have seen that up to last year, it was only $80 billion that was actually brought in. So the countries were urged to actually fully deliver the 100, and then this finance should also be doubled by 2025 to actually finance the Africa and the other the rest of the world. It's actually, they are called G77. These are group of countries that are mostly affected, and they cannot deal with this, so they have to be sponsored. And actually, at the venue now in COP27 Sharm El Sheikh, before the onset of the conference, the G77 plus China countries were actually having side discussions to see the way forward on how these finances will be given so that they actually accelerate just energy transition and also adaptation mechanism. So one of the things is that it was realized that most of finances were actually given to mitigations mechanism, which is still mitigation. Is now the developed countries that are trying to mitigate, to cut down their emissions. But very less amount was given for adaptation, which is most of the countries in the developing world are actually not mitigating, but they need adaptation mechanism for a smart agriculture, for capacity building and all this. So it's very hard, the implementation of all this one. That's why the COP27 people are there, to follow up with all the points that were not that were put in COP26 and also the Paris Agreement, because all these COPs now, they're just into implementation of Paris Agreement.
Listeners to Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and with me in the studio is Yamaj Hothmai, the founder and executive director of the Future Service Civil Society Organization, which is specialized on environmental issues, environmental conservation and related issues. And she's with me in the studio here as world leaders are meeting in Sharm El Sheikh in Egypt on the Conference of the Parties, which is known as COP27. And they are discussing how to implement the points that they agreed in previous climate conferences and summits, and which included especially the Paris Agreement on reducing emissions to a certain degree. You earlier spoke about the participation of South Sudan, and you spoke also just now about the G77. Where is South Sudan from all this?
Sorry?
I mean, where is South Sudan from the G77 and also in the position of participation in this conference?
South Sudan, we actually part of the UNFCCC. We are a party, and that's why we are there at COP27. We're also part of the Kyoto Protocol, and we are also signatories to the Paris Agreement. We actually signed that in 2016. So being part of the party, we also have a voice. And South Sudan this year is actually represented in a very huge number. We have people from ministries, civil societies, and businesses, entrepreneurship, and also from churches who are present at that place. We are among the G77 because we are mostly affected and need to be helped, you know, to mitigate or cope with the impact of this climate change. So at COP27, we have people from the first day on Monday up to today. We have people who have been put in some discussions, and our groups are actually split. The discussions are taking place in Sharm el-Sheikh. There are people who are with the mitigation, people with adaptation, with technology and capacity building. So we are there, and I believe our voice is going to be heard because for the last 4 years, we have been affected by floods and droughts, you know, at the same time. And these are extreme climatic event. And this one has affected many lives. We have seen many life loss. We have seen a lot of climate IDPs who have been displaced by the heavy floods. And we have seen a lot of diseases and a lot of issues, you know, livelihood affected. So because of that, I believe those one who are in Sharm el-Sheikh are going to represent us, and they will bring out our issues and our position very well. With the rest of the G77, I believe they will come up with a deal on how this climate finance are going to be actually directed towards adaptation mm-hmm. in Africa. Mm-hmm. So we are there, and I believe by the end of the conference, we may make a good deal.
Yeah, and back to the country, and you mentioned the issue of flooding and other crop failures and all these, and lack of water in some areas. Just a few weeks after the rain season is over, what are your observations about other climatic-related issues?
Yes, all of this, it's climate change. Some people are saying climate change is not real, but it's a reality. And for those one who lived in Juba in 1980s, 70s, we used to hear them talking about Juba's temperate climate was a moderate climate, was a cold climate. But now, you know,
it's dusty.
It's very warm. Mm. The temperatures have actually increased, and we have seen the rain patterns have changed, you know, because in South Sudan, in average, we are not in arid land, you know, and we don't have deserts, even though they are encroaching now from the northern part of the country. Our rainfall, it ranges from 750 millimeters per year to 1,200 and something, which is average. But I think that rain is now affected. You know, it either come early and very less, or it come late, you know, and it's now we are in November, but we're still experiencing rain. But before, it used to be from March to October, mm-hmm. you know, and the rain, that's now it the stops. Rainy season stops. Mm-hmm. Then we go to the dry season for like 3 months, then it comes. We had actually 9 months of rain mm-hmm. and then 3 months of dry season.
Now the dry season is just 2 months or something.
Yeah. So it has actually changed. Yeah. And we have seen that, and even planting with the farmers, it has become a problem because either you're getting too much rain in a few days and then it stops, mm-hmm. and that one affects them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so apart from the rain, we have the temperatures that have increased. We have the droughts that are taking place in the eastern part of the country, especially Kapoita. Mm. These people are suffering of scarcity of water, you know, while on the other part of the country, we are suffering of too much water, in which both of them are extreme and both of them have impact on livelihood. They have impact on economy. They have impact on agriculture and also and health, because mm-hmm. many people now are suffering with a lot of mental health problem, a lot of health issues, leaving their homes and all this. So we have seen climatic issues are a lot of problems that we are having in the country, and they are really affecting us so much.
And people are speaking, even us in the media here, we speak about cattle raids and movement of cattle and grazing land and all these. But it seems the connection has not been made between these things, these phenomena, and climate change. What can you say?
Yeah, you know, as we have too much water, we will not have grass for the cattle to graze where they initially used to graze. So pastoralists have to move to look for grass, you know, pasture to feed their livestock. So this one, in some places where there is no water, you will also not have grazing lands for livestock.
Yeah.
So pastoralists also have to move, you know, from one place to another. Now it becomes a nomadic movement, you know, where you're just looking for sources of water and grazing lands for. So this one will still link it to climate change, because it's making the resources that were available as scarce, which will make these people to move, and it's now bringing the cattle raiding, because if your cattle are in where they used to be, they're safer and secure, but now when you start moving from one place to another, this will now bring, and then because livestock are dying, there is no food, people are not farming, the only option they have is that those livestock that are available, then they don't have any option just to go and get from the other peoples to also make a living, you know.
Yeah.
So all these ones are actually related to climate change, even though there are other factors that are there, but climatic conditions also contribute a lot into cattle raiding.
And also, we are speaking about human-made disasters, which are also contributing or exacerbating the natural disasters. And one of them is like relying on what you call fossil fuel, if you can say, like people are cutting a lot of trees in South Sudan just because of our urbanization is taking place. Many people are moving to towns. Juba is growing very rapidly, and it's one of the towns consuming a lot of coal, a lot of charcoal, and this is depleting the rural areas of trees and valuable trees, and it seems to be indicators that things are not really promising in this area. What can you say?
Yes, you know, deforestation is at the heart of discussions even at COP27, and in our country is taking place at a very alarming rate. Our trees are being cut down for charcoal production. They are being cut down for timber production, which is actually illegal. The timber, they are actually illegal. And they are also being cut down for expansion, settlement, urbanization, you know. And we don't have policies that, like in other places, you are told that cut one, plant five, you see. So we are cutting down. We are not replacing. We have like the mahogany forest, you know, it's almost gone. We have our forests in the eastern equatoria and the western equatoria. They're actually finishing. And if you see, like you see trucks leaving the country full of timber from the country, and they're being exported to our neighboring countries, but those are on illegal sales. So deforestation, it's contributing a lot even to climate change, because we know forests are carbon sink, you know. Trees actually use carbon dioxide to make their food. And when we don't have trees, that means whatever carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide or hydrocarbons that are released to the air, they have got nowhere to go, because you don't have plants that are going to bring it. So it's found that deforestation is actually contributing to almost 30% or 40% of the climate, you know, of the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere.
Mm.
So it's alarming in the country that we are losing our arable lands, we are losing our forests, which is a heritage also to South Sudan. You know, we are losing it. So this is alarming, and we have to do something about it if we are to cut also our emissions. You know, because when these trees are burned, you know, they are not burned completely. So incomplete combustion will always release carbon monoxide. So even though our emissions are insignificant, we are actually emitting some sort of, you know, greenhouse gas, especially the carbon monoxide, to the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and our emissions, we have the Soot wetland that is also emitting the methane gas, which is one of the greenhouse gases that is also supposed to be reduced, even though no much that is done about that, how much methane we are releasing. But that methane can also be harvested and, you know, use as a source of clean energy,
yeah,
and that one will replace the firewood, the charcoal that we are using in the country,
mm-hmm.
if we can use harvest that methane gas.
Yeah. Other countries are pushing for a real good strategies, and even at the highest levels in those countries, even our neighboring countries like Uganda, Kenya, you hear that there is a climate desk in the Prime Minister's office or in the President's office. Are we seeing something like that coming up in South Sudan, or there is more to be acted, to be done?
I am not really sure if actually climate issues are taken at the highest offices in our country. You know, generally, environmental issues are actually neglected in this country. Even if you can see, like, from our annual budget, whatever is given to the Ministry of Environment, it's usually a fraction, you know. We can also see even from the setup of the ministry. If you go to the Ministry of Environment, you see it's actually neglected. So if the whole environment sector is neglected, we are not prioritizing it. Because just imagine, we are supposed to have, like, our meteorological department should be empowered so that they focused, you know, our weather, like, for how many months to come, and know what is likely to happen in the future, so that we are able, you know, to be prepared for all those emergencies that could come, like the floods that is happening. If really the meteorological department was empowered and they focused it, we would have actually known that some disasters are going to come, flooding will come from this area to this area. Then you plan early enough by making dikes or evacuating people early enough so that properties are not lost and the rest of things. But these environmental issues are not prioritized.
It seems it is cross-cutting. It's actually cross-cutting. Like, in a country where you have, up to now, I think illiteracy is about 70%, or it has reduced somehow, but it still is still high, very high. And in this case, people don't know really what's going on. And there is a need. How do you feel about the need for outreach, of really being with the people, like going from door to door, from village to village, and tell them, look here, this is what is going to happen? It seems people are just surprised that there is flooding, there is this, there are diseases here and there. They don't know what's going on. So what do you think should happen?
Of course, the outreach, the awareness part of it, it really, people need to be educated, you know, on all the things that are taking place, be it on environmental issues or socio-economic issues or the other issues, the grassroots, because these are the people who are affected. And we have seen the continent of Africa in general is usually affected because we have weak institutions, we have weak systems in place, poverty and poor governance always come in place and make us more vulnerable even to further climatic issues. So the outreach needs to be done. People need to be educated. Like, what we are doing now here is part of education. Mm-hmm. People have to know. We may not reach anybody, but at least someone somewhere will actually know that something like this is taking place and they can search more.
Mm-hmm.
So even environmental issues should be even taught in schools. You know, children should actually be taught now on climate change and how, because climate change is a universal issue that needs collective responsibility from every individual. The little efforts that you can put, even by just not burning your waste, you know, because when you burn this waste, you are releasing to the air, you know. When you litter to the water drainage, you're also creating a lot of issues that these things will flow to the rivers and shock the aquatic life inside there. So if people are taught, many things are done out of ignorance. You know, it's not just because people don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Even though some things are being done intentionally, especially from our high offices, they literally refuse to listen to these environmental things or all to act on them. But the other people act out of ignorance, that they have to be trained. They have to be made aware of what is taking place. They have to be made aware of their environment, because mm-hmm. if I think, you know, environmental issues, they are broadcasting. If I throw something here, I will think it's going to affect my neighbor. It's still coming back to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's why we are facing consequences of something that we are not part of. we are not having industries that are emitting. It's the emission comes from America, China, but we are affected the most.
This
should be a lesson that even within the country, whatever affects people in Juba will also affect people in other parts of the country.
Yes. And other parts of the country comes also to Juba.
Yeah.
You see, people are coming to Juba with strange diseases and infections, and you don't know what's going on. And then they are here, they don't get a place to be treated, and they are referred outside of these kind of things.
Yeah.
Even these environmental issues require upgrading of our medical facilities, right?
Sure.
Because there are infections and things that happen because of the environment.
That is, they are called actually the zoonotic diseases, that from animals to human being because of all these environmental issues. So they actually need our health facilities to be more, because, you know, the African are being challenged because our efforts are not matching the magnitude of the crisis. You see, we are below the magnitude of the crisis. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listeners to Radio Mena, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is Discussion Hour of a nationwide program. And today I'm hosting the Executive Director of Future Service, as was that organization, which is specialized on environmental activism. And we are also having this discussion as the Conference of the Parties, the United Nations Conference of the Parties, which is called COP27. Which is about climate change issues, is taking place nowadays in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt. And by the way, Nyamaj will be going there to participate while she's in Nairobi. She will be following online. And we have heard that a big delegation from South Sudan is there, and this indicates that more attention is being drawn to focus on the issues of climate change, and because of the devastating floods that have taken place in the country in the last 3 or 4 years. Now, as I don't know if we can shift a little bit to Arabic, because some people, they don't understand this English we are talking about. Jamaj, يعني أهمية الناس يتكلموا في التغير المناخي ونحن من الدول اللي يمكن متأثرين بالتغير بتاع المناخ أهميته شنو؟
Okay, let me try.
Yeah.
أنت عارف لما نكون في مشكلة وما تتكلم عنه أنت بتزيد المشكلة. لكن لما أنت بتعرف إنه في مشكلة وتتكلم عنه حتى لو لسه ما لقيت حلول حتفتش طريقة إنه تحله بو كيف. So, التغيير المناخي أول حاجة إحنا لازم نقبل إنه هو أصلاً قاعد يحصل. You know, تغيير المناخي قاعد يحصل لأن إحنا شايفين إنه ال درجة حرارة بتاعت جوبا أو مدن تانية من البلد اتغير. يعني كان جنوب السودان كان من الدول من المناطق الباردة, شفتها ما زي شمال, يعني كان درجة حرارة بتاعنا كان يعني moderate, ما كان عالي شديد. لكن حسب بنشوف إنه درجات الحرارة ارتفعت, النسبة بتاعت الأمطار قلل, وبنشوف يعني مشاكل كتير, بقى في فيضانات, بقى في جفاف في مناطق مختلفة. So هو مهم جدا إنه ناس تتكلم في موضوع بتاع التغير المناخي, لأنه ده مشكلة عالمية ونحن جزء من العالم, يعني ما مقطوعين من العالم, إحنا جزء منه ولازم نتكلم عنه. لأن لما نتكلم عنه إحنا أصلا متأثرين أكتر. So أنت لما تكون أنت زول اللي عندك مشكلة, المشكلة أنت فيه ده لازم تتكلم عنه, لأن كل ما تتكلم عنه بتعرف السبب بتاع المشكلة ده شنو, وإحنا ممكن نعمل شنو عشان نتجنب المشاكل الممكن تحصل من التغير المناخي. So هو مهم جدا إنه يكون في تعليم, يكون في education, يكون في outreach, ناس يمشوا في مدارس, في communities, you know, المقطوعة برا هناك هم ما بيعرفوا بيحصل شنو. اسبيا ماسترز هم بيقولوا زمان, you know, بيطبحوا بقر وعشان الله بتاعهم ده يجيب لهم مطر, عجا ده ما شغال, you know, ما بيشتغل, لأنه المشكلة ده ما قال our ancestors يا هو زحجانين مننا ولا في منو عمل شنو. ده حاجة عالمية وده تغيير حاصل في أنحاء العالم كله. So حتى لو نادينا جنودنا لسه ما هيقدر يغير الوضع. لا هيغير الوضع إنه لما نعلم ناس في الإطار بتاعت الانفايرومنت وهو يغير السلوك بتاعهم, how they eat سلوكيات بتعمل في البيئة. You know, حتى لما الناس يمشوا يعملوا الصيادين لما يمشوا يصيدوا هم يعرفوا إنه السيدلينجز الصغار ديل ما يشيلهم لأنه هم لو مسكوا الأسماك الصغار ديل بمعنى ما في regeneration so ما هتكون في سمك تاني. بل تغيير المناخ اللي قاعد يحصل الكروبس زول ما يطبخ like أكل كتير وتمشي you know تدفقوا ما تأكلوا you know these are issues that are being discussed you know so that نغير سلوكيات بتاعنا and attitudes you know towards the climate issues.
بالذات موضوع قطع الأشجار يعني الناس زي ما أنت قلت قبل إنه مفروض الزول قطع شجرة واحدة يزرع خمسة يعني وده هسه الشجر هنا الشتور موجودة كتير في جوبة هنا بالذات وفي مناطق تانية زي واو ويل شنو نصيحتك لهم شنو للناس اللي بقطعوا الشجر؟
يا نصيحة بتاعي للناس اللي بقطعوا الشجر انت لما تقطع الشجر ده افتكر انت قطعت نفسك you know لأن الشجر ده by the way الشجر ده بدي أكسجين لما يقارب أكثر من خمسة نفر one tree
شجر
only
واحد.
شجرة واحد بس يعني more than five people can get oxygen يعني يلقوا الأكسجين القانة تنفذ هذا بنلقوه من هناك so الأشجار ده إحنا لو قطعناه بقى ما في أشجار بمعنى حتى ال 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 الهواء اللي إحنا قاعدين نستنشقه ده ما بيكون نظيف لأنه حاجات كتير قاعدة تطلع ثاني أكسيد الكربون في الجو you know من مطابخ بتاعنا the firewood البانينج ذاته في هنا ده في الفورسز you know يعني جو بيكون مليان بكربون دايوكسيد ولو ما في اشجار ما حينظفوا سو الجو بتاعنا ما حيكون نظيف يعني لو مشيت في المناطق المتقدمه you know like I used to experience this في نيروبي تاون انت لو خشيت في تاون يعني بتحس في سام كتمة
you know أيوة.
في كتمة كده ليه لأنه في a lot of emissions بتاع this carbon you know fossil fuel burning actually من عربات لكن لما تطلع برا من نيروبي you will feel الجودة يعني نظيف وما في so إحنا الأشجار ما نقطعهم ساي you know حتى في البيوت أنت لو عندك شجرة في بيتك ذاته ما تقطعه ساكت ده حقك you know لو دير تقطعه أزرع you know أزرع شجرة تاني and I would really advise even from a government level you know إنه people should invent into commercial plantations like we get a piece of land these are called forest plantations you plant them like for timber production you can plant them even for charcoal production you know these are commercialized that at a certain point they are going to be harvested and they will be replaced so that we don't touch the natural forest and then يكون في reforestation you know في أماكن مختلفة كله في ولايات بتاعنا مفروض يكون في afforestation لأنه يا جابرييل الأصعب حاجة إنه some of our species are extinct you know are actually threatened to extinction especially the plant species you know ديل قاعدين يحرقوهم and we don't have genetic reserves where we have the seeds of شجر of land في محل الكده ده this is the reservation we have like herbarium where we keep all the types of you know seeds bitter anything flowers you know we don't have it now as a country I'm sure minister of agriculture may have but I don't know what is their capacity so at some point we will find that some of our indigenous species are actually threatened and they are gone and we will not get them from anywhere. So so it's really very good that we have to preserve some of our species because these species are very resistant to our climatic conditions, to droughts, water stress and all this. So it's very important. I normally tell people lemon zaman bitat al manga yeji, you know we buy mangoes, we eat and then we throw the seeds in dustbin. So I really encourage people, ahna jayen fi December hasada we are going to have the first part of the mango season that intolo akalta manga ma tajdaw fi wasakha you know you better throw it outside intolo jadatu barra henak moya biji bishilu and it will find a place where it will grow instead of us throwing them because the manyam shifi dustbin khalas bimshi fi henayda fi wasakha and it will never grow
Nyamach Hosmai, time has taken us and really I enjoyed your insight and we are coming to the end or we are actually coming to conclude and let us hear your top recommendation as the world leaders are meeting in the COP 27 which is the United Nations Conference of the Parties on Climate Change
My top recommendation will be that as we are making promises, we are putting down objectives and goals, they have to be implemented because climate change is real. And we don't act now, we don't accelerate the implementation of all the things that have been put down in Paris Agreement, COP26, and in our national determined contributions, if we don't put them in action, then the whole world is under threat and we can all be doomed, you know. And to our country, I want to tell them that we have to prioritize environmental issues because everything else depends on the environment. All of us, if it's agriculture, it's on the, it's, if it's economic, it's on agriculture. It's just all, everything depends on our environment. And to our communities, to every individual in South Sudan, please do your part. Even if it's just by cleaning your area, by keeping yourself, by changing your attitudes, by reducing your food waste, please do that so that we conserve our natural resources and we don't waste them, so that we have something for ourselves and also for the coming generations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The Executive Director of Future Saver, Future Savers Organization, Nyamach Hothmai, for being with us on Nationwide Discussion Hour, and safe journey and participation also in the COP27.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being
Thanks.
With us.
Thanks for asking.
All the best. And that brings me to the end of today's Discussion Hour on Nationwide program on Radio Maria. I'm Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening.